Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I'm your host, Shane Miller, and today we have Ken Kelly, the founder and CEO of Never Settle. How you doing, Ken?
Doing great. Nice fall day.
Yes, it is. I don't think I've ever recorded an episode with somebody sitting outside before, and I got to say, I'm pretty jealous. Looks beautiful.
Yeah. Anything I can do to get away from the office and be outdoors is a win in my books.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, why don't you tell me a little bit about Never Settle? I always say you'll do a much better job than I ever would.
Yeah, we're a full service tech and marketing agency. And if you were to ask like what we do or why that matters, is we help businesses grow. And we do that through technology and marketing solutions. The a typical client is coming to us because we're a top 1% partner with Shopify, Commerce, Webflow and Stripe. So we have a lot of big e-commerce clients to SMBs that are coming and looking for integrated solutions. And then after we build those things for them, we follow up with creative marketing campaigns, growth strategy, SEO, and things like that.
Got it. Sounds good. And so when you say tech, like what kind of tech are you guys really using to help companies grow?
Yeah, everything would surround web development. So we do anything from building internal software for businesses to run better, to SaaS solutions, to apps, and then just a lot of forward-facing web development for them, either marketing their company for a corporate website or e-commerce solutions for B2B or B2C.
Got it. Awesome. And so what would you say like your ideal partner is, right? So somebody who you guys absolutely knock it out of the park for.
Yeah, our ideal partner starts with like what are they doing and why are they doing it? Our staff and myself, we're going to spend 70% of our awake time at work. And so that's a big number. And the goal at Never Settle is that people would have a thriving life both in and outside of work. And part of that is determined by the clients that we work with. So I'd say number one is we want to work with clients that are high character, high integrity, and then that their service or product is actually doing something good. Like we want to invest all of our growth marketing into helping great products and services get reached versus maybe something that's like not healthy for people or it's not necessarily a good thing for society. So I think the character of the people we work with our clients and then what their services are is first and foremost for us. And then when we get into specific solutions, the clients we really knock it out of the park for and that we've had the highest awards globally in are all usually in the e-commerce sector, and they have some sort of complex e-commerce solution that they're trying to achieve. So they're not just building some store. They are omni-channel, selling B2B and B2C. They're doing wholesale and distribution, and they don't want to cannibalize any of those markets, but they need a website that can talk to their ERP system and to their inventory and their financial system. And they need a company that can design it, develop it, and then do all the backend technology to pull it together. And that's typically our sweet spot where we can come in as consultants. And then we have the full team in-house of full stack developers to our world-class designers. And we can kind of do A to Z for them.
Gotcha. That is a very concise answer. I appreciate that. So basically, you know, people who are a net positive to society, like you're not going to be doing marketing for vapes and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. And so what, you know, I guess, are you doing right now to find those ideal clients?
Yeah. One of the things that's been most valuable just historically, we just crossed our 13th year in business is just the ongoing client referrals. Like we found that if we serve our clients really well, naturally over time, that the word is going to get out on what we did for them. And what I found is that it's a pretty long tail strategy. Like some of this could be a 5-year strategy before one client has a referral. Some people right away, but it's typically really long term. So you have to have a pretty big pipeline, but that would be one that's always been consistent with us. And it starts with how well we're serving them today. And then the second one is taking that client work and displaying it in public places and getting awards and recognitions where people find us from different, I would just say that the awards and accolades that we've won have been another way for clients to find us, especially when you're looking at the larger mid-market companies to lower enterprise to enterprise. They're not, from what we've seen, they're not necessarily doing a ton of Google search. It's, you know, they're like, I have this really complex solution, a lot's at stake. I need to find someone that has the accolades that I could trust to do this business.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, basically it's a lot of referral marketing and then relying on these awards that you're given, right, to spread the word. So how does that work from award given to, you know, from award given to interested person contacting you? Are they reaching you after they see that you've won the award, or is that something you kind of use during the sales process to be like, hey, you know, just so you know, we won this award, you know?
Yeah, no, they're reaching us because of those awards or those accolades. But the first piece of that whole puzzle is to do work worthy of being recognized. And so we have to do really incredible work, and then it's very competitive market, and we submit it to those different award places. And then if we do good enough, we actually get the accolade. And then when that happens, you have people that are, these businesses are coming and they're looking for award winning agencies, and then we're going to show up there. The other way that's not quite an award, but it's still a high achievement, is when I mentioned we're like a top 1% partner with those big 4 platforms. To get into their top tier is extremely competitive and extremely hard. And so by being in that tier, though, it opens up the ability for clients to find us as well, because they're going in there. So we could use Shopify as an example. We're a Shopify Plus partner. I think there's over 100,000 Shopify experts registered. There's 60,000 plus that they estimate to be agencies. And then there's 425 plus partners. So like a very small segment, but the bigger businesses are coming to Shopify. They're going into the directory, and then they're filtering down to those top high level awarded agencies. And so that would be another way of which they're finding us. And it's not quite an award, but it's definitely an achievement or an accolade. And to stay in that tier, you have to do a lot. You have to do a lot of good work in that ecosystem to maintain that status.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So I mean, you guys really lean on the good work you do, because, you know, you didn't become a top 1% by not being good at your jobs, right? And you're not getting awards. I mean, you're getting awards because you're so amazing, and then, you know, you get referred by your other clients because you do good work for them. So I think putting your client work first is what's really working out for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. And it's part of our identity, right? So we do a lot of brand work for brands. We help them craft their identity and what's their market position. And like, our identity starts at this principle of never settling. For us to have poor quality work, it would be like counter culture to the baseline identity of who we are.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And so what would you say has been the biggest challenge with this growth strategy? I imagine it might be a little inconsistent, or what are you guys seeing?
I don't know if there's a challenge with this growth strategy. I just wish I would have started a lot sooner. I think one of the big mistakes I made was starting a lot sooner to get our work out there. I used to, when I first started the company, I lived in this kind of field of dreams kind of mentality of like, if we build it, they will come, and if it's amazing, it will come. And that's just not true. Like, it, in some regard, you have to actually market yourself and get out there, right? And like I said, our referral pipeline built up over many years, but it was not like what I thought. And so if I could do it over again, I would have been more aggressive at getting ourselves out there and being in public places where people can find us versus just hoping that our work was so good that it would bring in all the referrals. And like I said, it did, just not at the level of growth that I think we desire.
Got it. So there's still like the growth that is being provided by this strategy is still not entirely meeting the growth level that you want to be at.
I actually think it is. I probably wasn't super clear, but like this idea of just referral based, like that's all we did in the beginning. Then maybe 7 years ago, we really started putting our work out in the public's place. I wish I would have done that right from day one. Gotcha. So, but getting our work in the public place, I think, is doing that and really getting into those high level tiers where there's just a small group of people that are in those places. Getting there and then staying there is a full time job in and of itself. But that, I think, grows a ton. The thing that when you asked that question, and the answer that came out was not a direct answer, but like, AI really is changing things. And so the growth strategy, it's just different. People are searching different. And so being able to show up in agent-based results and like GPT's results has been huge for us. Like we've shifted focus there too now. So that's like now one of our focuses that wasn't there 7 months ago. And we track all of our, you know, marketing's a big piece of what we do. So we want to know where our leads come from. And so we can see where they're coming from. And my guess is right now, 30% of our leads are coming from agents because we've built out a strategy to optimize ourselves to show up in search when people are talking to GPTs.
Got it. Got it. Makes sense to me. And so let's talk, like, sounds like you have your lead gen really unlocked. So let's talk sales a little bit. Is it still founder led or like, what does your guys' sales process look like?
Yeah, I'm a big part of our sales still. But we sell as a team, and part of that's because everything that we do is typically from that consultative, starting point. So we're trying to help our clients find solutions. We're not just yes men and women. We are, trying to help them see their business in a different way and solve more problems than typically they're coming to us with. So we do it as a team. But I probably do the majority of the actual closing. And with that, one of our initiatives for 2025 was to bring in a head of sales. And we're actually, pretty far down the pipeline with, this gentleman that I'm really excited for. And if we end up making that offer, actually, maybe 90% of the sales load will go towards him. He'll still be working with our team, but as far as actually closing the deals, it'll be him.
Got it. Got it. Very cool. Well, you know, we're reaching kind of the end of the recording here. So I just have one question left for you. I'm trying to be a little unique with the questions I ask at this point, but I guess, what is your number one piece of advice for how to serve clients well so that they do want to send you these referrals?
I think curiosity is the key. At this point, we've estimated a little over 1,500 sites alone that we've done. That's not including brand projects and other things. And there's some degree where it feels like, hey, we know how to do this really well. But the truth is, like, two competitors on the same street selling the same widgets, like, they still have a different business identity and strategy and purpose. And if we come in with like a pre-baked solution and we're not really hearing, number one, what's important to them and why do they want to hire us? What are their skills? What are they looking for a complementary partner to do? We're going to miss the mark big time. So I think the ability to be curious, to listen, to understand, so then we can serve that need and help them grow with what they're looking to achieve.
Got it. All right. Well, Ken, thank you so much for joining. This has been a pleasure. And I honestly am very jealous of your outdoor office here. So it's making me want to go on a hike today.
I appreciate being on here. Thanks so much.
Well.